Welcome to Outreach Radio, brought to you by the Elite Speakers Bureau. Join ESB owners and your hosts, Denise Brown and Danielle Pierre, as they discuss and interview their expert speakers regarding topics such as violence prevention, school safety, suicide prevention, addiction and recovery, mental health and wellness, leadership, and more. Denise and Danielle also interview event hosts about their upcoming events, so tune in weekly to ask questions, find solutions, or get event information. All showtimes to be announced. And now, here's your hosts, Denise and Danielle.
Welcome, everybody. This is another episode, I guess you would call it, of Outreach Radio. This is Danielle. And
hi,
Denise, we're both here.
This is Denise. We're both here, yeah.
Wait,
hey,
we're starting to sound
be...
alike a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
we have
why
to
we
let
have
people
to...
know who's who, right?
Exactly. So we have a guest today. This is one of our, Jill Borowicz. She is the CEO of Safe Space in Florida. And they have an annual event called Every Woman is My Sister. And we will be talking about that briefly shortly, and she'll talk about the organization, also her event. And Denise, you are the keynote speaker.
I am, and, you know, I mean, yeah. I was there 5 years ago, and it was, I mean, just a great organization, a great event, and, you know, I can't wait to have Jill on to talk about it. And, you know, I talk about the domestic violence and, you know, what we can do, and this time my message is going to be zero tolerance. I mean, we got to put a stop to all of this. I mean, with everything, everybody talking about it, and, you know, even with the NFL involved now and with so many people talking, I mean, it's really time. Now is the time where we have to say, okay, either we go forward and we move forward and we just make domestic violence a household name, or we just say, okay, well, we missed the boat again. So my message this time is just going to be zero tolerance. We got to work together and really seriously work together to stop this epidemic, because that's exactly what it is. And, you know,
no,
I'm extremely passionate about domestic violence. I mean, you know, a lot of people know it took my sister and it took her life. So I mean, I'll go and talk anywhere and everywhere about domestic violence. And, you know, the thing is that now, especially now, you know, it's been 20 years since Nicole's murder. And, you know, when I was at Penn State, remember when I was over there speaking, the kids are younger and younger. So they're like 19 and 20 years old, and they have no clue about Nicole. And, you know, so it's like, wait a minute, we've got to educate these younger kids as well and keep them, make them know that, hey, domestic violence is not acceptable, that
you know,
somebody mentally abusing, not acceptable,
yeah.
Zero tolerance.
I'm glad you said that, because I was out the other day, and it does seem to be getting, either I'm more sensitive to it as I get older or the more I learn, but I was out the other day, and there was a young couple, really young. I would say maybe teenage, maybe a little older than teens, probably 19, 20, you know, I don't. Anyway, I don't know what the girl said to the guy, but he just completely came unglued. Don't you ever say that to me and blah, blah. And she just froze right there. And it took everything in me not to say something. But, you know, you can't just up. I couldn't just walk over there and say, hey, leave her alone. Unless, of course, he had physically done something to her. But it was so obvious to me what was going on. And it just infuriated me. And this was a young girl, young, pretty girl. And her boyfriend was obviously very abusive, and it was very disturbing. So, you know, if nothing else, our kids, teenagers, you know, they're getting into these relationships, even though we have all of this awareness.
Well, okay,
and
when Jill gets
on,
we're going to ask her what it is that people should do if they see something like that. I can't wait to hear from her to say,
hey, what
should somebody do?
Absolutely, because I literally was at a loss. I thought, okay, so if I interfere, I can make it worse for her, and I didn't want to do that. You know, and it was a conversation. It wasn't physical. So
do you remember CNN? I don't know if you saw this, but they did an experiment. two guys were walking down the street, and
all of
a sudden the two guys were fighting, and people came over and broke up the fight. A man and a woman were walking down the street fighting. All of a sudden the fight broke out, and nobody did anything. So,
I saw that. We need to get involved.
We need to do something. So, hey, let's just bring Jill on and talk to her and just get an expert to let us
know the
things that we should do. Awesome.
I'm going to cut for a commercial real quick, and when we come back, we will introduce Jill Borowitz. One moment.
Who better to inform, educate, and motivate our families, students, school staff, and the community than the experts? The Elite Speakers Bureau, Inc. was formed to do just that. Our speakers are experts and professionals with vast knowledge who bring awareness to many issues, including bullying, abuse, violent crimes, stalking, and mental health, just to name a few. Our team of experts include renowned authors, advocates, therapists, celebrities, and more. If you would like to book one of our acclaimed speakers for your next event, or for more information, visit www.theelitespeakersbureau.com or call 949-544-1410. That number again is 949-544-1410.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today's guest is Jill Borowitz. Jill is the CEO of Safe Space, a nonprofit United Way organization serving victims of domestic violence in, Martin St. Lucie, I hope I said that right, and she'll correct me if not, in Indian River counties in Florida. So in addition to 48-bed emergency shelter, Safe Space also provides a supportive living program for individuals in need of longer-term housing, as well as outreach services for those who choose not to enter the shelter. So this is one, they're more than just a shelter. Safe Space offers victims of domestic violence safety, support, and education, empowering them to create an independent life free from violence. On March 21st, coming up here this month, Safe Space is holding their annual Every Woman Is My Sister event with keynote speaker, our very own Denise Brown. And now we will bring Jill on. Jill.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So can you tell us a little bit, I think I kind of gave an overview here, but a little bit about the organization, maybe some background, and then we can discuss what Denise and I were just talking about.
Sure. Well, Safe Space has been providing services to victims of domestic violence on the Treasure Coast of Florida for 35 years. This is our 35th year. Which we're very proud of. And we, as you said, we provide shelter, hotline, 24-hour hotline services. We have a transitional housing program now and multiple different types of outreaches. And we serve, as I said, the Treasure Coast, probably close to 1,500 participants a year, and that includes children. So we have a pretty broad reach.
That's wonderful. Now, also within those, you helped 1,500 women. How often do you have to turn women and children away?
Well, unfortunately, good and bad news. Good news is there's, as you've already said, there's a lot of attention being focused on the issue of domestic violence in our country right now. Bad news has brought, more and more people and not more and more money to provide services. So unfortunately, we are not able to meet the demand all the time. And I would say since our fiscal year began, which was in July, we've been probably 90% at capacity. So it's...
Wow.
And interesting...
That's really amazing. Good for you. Victims of domestic violence, they need a place to go. They need shelter. They run. There's a myth, Jill, and, it's about women who leave to go to a shelter. And, is it the last resort usually calling 911 and leaving?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most women would not choose to come to a shelter. And, it is a very, very hard decision to make to come, for sure. And, There are a lot of reasons why it's such a difficult decision. And I, what I tell people is close your eyes and imagine yourself with a couple of young children having to leave your own home in the middle of the night with nothing but the clothing on your back. You're going to a strange place where there are strange people and you have no idea what to expect there. It's pretty scary. You know, it's a daunting thing. And if you've been, you know, we know that domestic violence is about power and control. And if you've been under someone else's control for a long period of time and you're going somewhere, you know, where you have no idea who's going to be in charge, who's going to take care of you, who's going to do what, who's going to feed you, who's going to clothe you, it's really scary. It's a very hard decision. It takes a lot of strength to make the decision, frankly.
It really does. And, you know, the one thing that I get from women when I travel around the country, Jill, is, you know, why don't the abusers leave the house? Why is it that we always have to uproot our children and leave, and we're the ones that get uprooted? Why? What do you answer to that? What do you say to someone that says, why don't they just leave the house? What do you say to that?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with our legal system, frankly. I mean, it's, you know, and in order for women to get safe, they have to leave. They don't have a choice.
Right.
And as long as, you know, a woman and her children are in danger, you know, and there's no one that's going to take the batterer away from the home and keep him away from the home, women, in order to get safe, have to leave. It's not optional. You know, it's either leave or the potential is you could be killed. So.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I'm so happy that you said that, because when they do ask me that, that's usually the answer that I give. It's because, you know, they know where you are then at that point. And is your shelter a safe space? The emergency shelter, is that a anonymous, or is it out in the open and the community helps, or how do you do that?
It is a confidential. It's considered a confidential location. It is protected by law. That's not to say that there aren't people in the community that know where the shelter is.
Right.
There will always be people that know where it is. But we are not. We don't publicize it. We don't use the street address in anything. You won't see numbers on the building or the walls surrounding the building. We ask all of the participants that come to us to hold the location confidential. All of our volunteers and employees are bound by laws in the state of Florida that maintain the confidentiality of the structure. I mean, how can we keep women safe if everybody knows where it is?
So exactly.
We try to do everything we can to protect the location, but, you know, it's never going to be totally possible. So,
you know, what was really disturbing to me, and I understand that it's a good thing that you're at capacity in the sense that people are coming out and getting help. Okay, I understand that. But the fact that you're at capacity, or at least 90% capacity, is very disturbing. That should let everybody know exactly how big this problem is, because you're one shelter in the United States of America. So if you're at 90% capacity and we're not even discussing the people that aren't coming forward and saying they're being abused, and there's, we know how hundreds and thousands
right.
of those, and then all the other shelters taken into consideration, that's how huge this problem is.
I can put it in perspective for you if you'd like.
Sure.
There's a point-in-time study that all DV centers participate in once a year. We collect data, and we all send it forward. It's sort of like a DV census, if you will, that's done once a year. It's called a point-in-time survey. And last year's survey, and they're done typically in the fall, I think usually in November. And one of the things they measure is how many people were turned away, and they call them unmet needs. And last year it was over 66,000 in the United States unmet needs occurred on that one day when they took the point-in-time survey.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, now that's across the United States, and I just kind of wanted to correct something that you said. You said 90% capacity. Well, what I meant to say, I may not have said it very clearly, but 90% of the time over the past year, Safe Space has been at or above capacity.
I see.
So,
I see what you're saying.
So
okay,
we're
very
full.
You know,
very full most of the time. We lose a family, we get a family. It's a constant revolving door. So. Huge unmet needs.
We're going to move on to the event in a second, but I do want to say that if we have listeners who are in a
with an ability to help these shelters in some way financially, pretty much, because this is a money issue as far as people being turned away. And if you imagine being a woman who is going for help and finally gets that courage to go get help and then is turned away, that is just the most devastating thing I can imagine. And it can't happen. We've got to prevent that, you know. And the way to prevent that is to donate. Help these shelters get more funding so that they don't have to turn people away. That should never happen. But it does.
No, you're absolutely right. Kind of hard to keep people alive when you can't get them in the building itself. So,
Now, before we get into the event, Jill, I'd like to know, you have transitional housing as well, you said.
Mm-hmm.
How many units are for transitional housing, and how long can someone stay there?
Well, we just about just under a year ago, we transitioned our organization and kind of restructured our programs. And what we did was we had two emergency shelter facilities. We received a grant from the state of Florida to expand one of our facilities, which we did in Martin County, and we expanded from a 24-bed shelter to a 48-bed. And so we transitioned all of our emergency shelter beds under one roof in the Martin County shelter. And we used our other shelter in Indian River County. We decided to create a transitional living program because we had no transitional living program. We had no transitional options for women coming into our facility. And we found that was a huge gap in services for us because, you know, victims of domestic violence cannot learn how to live a safe, independent life in 6 to 8 weeks of emergency shelter. So our facility in Indian River County, we made into a transitional living program. We have 12 available beds there for long-term housing up to 18 months.
Oh, wonderful.
That's one.
That's great.
That really is. I hope other shelters are modeling that.
We're very happy that we're able to do that. It's made a terrific difference for us. So,
tell us about the event. Tell us about your event.
You know about this event, Denise?
I do, but our listeners don't.
Yeah, I know. It's a great event. We are at Willoughby Golf Club this year, and it is our second or third year there. I'm sorry. My mind is blanking today. We choose to have this be a speaker event, and we do this without any auctions or raffles, any kind of fluff, I call it, because we want everybody to be educated about domestic violence and hear from people who have been impacted by domestic violence. And Denise, you started us off actually 6 years ago, and it's we wanted you to come back this year because it is our 35th anniversary, and you helped really sort of catapult our organization with this event. And it's just really a lovely evening of socializing, hearing an incredible message about domestic violence, and connecting people with this cause. Because I think so many people, when they hear domestic violence, just kind of shut down. And it's a little scary to think about and talk about. So, you know, in this venue and in this way, we have found people really connect to our cause, to our mission, and we build a huge amount of awareness about domestic violence and our organization and our work in this community.
I'm looking forward to it. And this week I am also doing media for you guys. One of your TV stations. So we'll be doing that. And I think that's on Thursday at 7 p.m. your time. And so I'll be doing that, and a couple of newspapers and things like that. So we'll get the word out there and sell out this this event, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and being out there again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you too and having you come and everybody to hear you. She's a phenomenal speaker.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. So, Jill, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it, and, you know, hopefully this helps, and we'll get the word out there, and we'll be able to promote the event as well as, you know, educating and getting awareness out there, just like what you guys do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We also have links to the event and registration forms and things like that, or links to that on our website at the Elite Speakers Bureau jillsafe.com. So you can visit there if you want some more information. Jill, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
And
thanks. Bye.
Have a great event.